This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
CityBC.com. At checkout, enter promo code ESPN for $100 off your registration fee. From the playground to the hardwood, it's in our blood, it's who we are in Hoop City.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to even want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated. That mean my table's turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John. 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Monday, yes, February 22nd. We got plenty to talk about, including the return of one Justice Winslow. Big old thick, mattress thick layer of rust on Justice Winslow as he came out, made his debut, obviously in a blowout loss to the Phoenix Suns. And yet, probably to be expected, that thick layer of rust he played like in the first half, certainly missed every shot he put up, John, literally. But I thought was fine in the second half. We're going to talk about Justice Winslow. We got Justice Winslow takes now, John, because we got Justice Winslow sample size, baby.
Yes.
He's back.
Yes, he is back.
Whether
is
you
back.
Believe or you don't believe, and you're going to see more of it, we hope, tonight as the Grizzlies take on the Dallas Mavericks on the road. Hopefully, too, John, what we've got picking up this week is Tigers basketball maybe
That's
resuming.
Right.
We saw this weekend, obviously, Tigers have resumed practice. So hopefully that leads to good things, and they're playing a basketball game come Wednesday against Tulane.
Yes. Do you believe in life after a COVID pause? That is what we are going to find out.
Michigan's having it.
Oh, Michigan is loving life right now.
They have life after a COVID pause.
Yes. And so we're going to get into that.
They won 5 in a row since.
A lot of thoughts, obviously, based on Michigan's win yesterday. I watched that whole entire game.
I could tell you were tweeting it. You were live play-by-play in that thing.
I was intoxicated by Michigan's style of play.
It's a pretty good game.
That's one of the best college basketball games, if not the best college basketball game of the season. So we will touch on that.
Memphis is back.
We're going to be joined by Jeff Goodman at 11:25. Jeff Goodman's going to join us. We will talk to him about Michigan, about Memphis basketball. Lots to get to.
I got one for him. Maybe he can settle a heated debate that broke out here Friday.
Yes, he can settle a heated debate indeed.
I know you don't want to ask.
He can talk about his love for Jerry Stackhouse. Lots to get to with Jeff Goodman. We'll do that at 11:25. And then, of course, our man Jason Fitz is going to hop on the show. He'll join us at around 1:25. We'll talk to him about this crazy video that came out from over the weekend at a 7-on-7 camp, Jason.
I saw this. The young man going off on cam.
Yes. Yes. And I think both things can be true. Like, I think that, you know, everybody should probably lay off of him because he is a kid, but he is absolutely an ish head. I think both things can be true. He is an ish head kid.
He was trying to show out.
Yes, he was. And
has any sense apologized? Didn't that the news that I saw breaking this morning?
He has. Now, I'm sure he was told to do that based on the reaction online, but he still did it. He still had to write those words and
do
post
you
them.
Win when it goes viral if you were the kid? You do if you look at it in that probably kid immature
sure.
way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think only, you know, Cam loses, right? When he's going back and forth with this 17, 16-year-old kid talking about I'm rich, I'm this, I'm that. I mean, it's a bad look.
Maybe loses in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I
but maybe wins in others, John.
I thought there was a second video that was not as widely spread around as the first one,
mm-hmm.
where Cam actually handled it about as well as you possibly could have. He probably took a moment to take a breath and collect his thoughts and say, you know what, this is just a kid. This is just a 15, 16-year-old
kid. Told him he's
going
to be broke, didn't he?
Something like that.
You're going to be poor.
I mean, yes.
Try to go at Cam's neck.
Yeah, you know, this is a quarterback who did he ever win an MVP?
I do not believe Cam got the MVP, did he?
It was just that Super Bowl year where he was awesome, right? I mean, he I don't know. He might not have been MVP, but he was absolutely awesome that year they went to the Super Bowl. But you're talking to, you know.
He's only 30. He's about to be 32 in May. Feels like he's much older.
Yeah, you're talking to, I mean, a guy who at one time was among the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, he got it in 2015.
Okay, I thought I was right on that. That was the year they went to the Super Bowl and then lost to old Peyton.
I guess I was just trying to make him Offensive Player of the Year that year. He was MVP. Should've
known please
that.
Do not try to
marginalize
his
Cam might actually be a nice little 1 year for the Bears.
No.
Yeah.
You deserve better, man. You deserve better. He's done. Unfortunately, he's done. But anyway.
We ain't going to win anything anyway.
We will get into all of that with Jason Fitz at 1:25. Of course, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we have a question of the day. Let's get it.
Now, it's time for 92.9's Jason and John Show. Question of the day.
Well, thoughts and prayers out to the family of Yuta after this weekend. Our condolences.
Man,
we lost him. We lost Yuta over the weekend. That was absolutely terrible. Anthony Edwards, you know, every rookie has that moment, right? There's always one moment where that rookie puts a stamp on the league. And unfortunately, it was on Yuta's face.
Did you see this play he's talking about, bro?
I saw it.
Did we feel sorry for Yuta? Or was
absolutely. Absolutely.
Remember, Nick Nurse had been talking him up, too, about how great Yuta was and why he's got to be a part of that rotation.
No, Anthony Edwards dunked on all of Japan.
Listen, KJZ talked about this morning.
Damn.
I thought they put it into context, though. They said two things can be true. One is he dunked on his ass, and that is some good viral video. Two, Edwards, this is the best thing that's happened to him because his game has been slaw this season.
It was slaw then, was it not?
Yes.
I mean, he was pretty bad in that one. I think only had 7 points in that game.
And he didn't have any field goals, I think, up until that point, they were saying. So, I mean, the guy's got he's got work to do, but this probably helps a little bit. You get a – and then, you know.
He was 3 of 14 in that game at 7 points. I'm not going to destroy his game yet. He has not been great, hasn't lived up to that number one pick, but he absolutely murdered Yuta Watanabe.
Yeah, that was sad.
Jeremy Evans.
Moment of silence? I mean, a moment of silence probably for Yuta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah.
Appreciate the passion.
Sure.
And the willingness and the fearlessness it takes to jump at that. But it felt like Anthony Edwards kept rising, too, once he touched Yuta's body.
And that's the Wolves, right? Collided. So they fired their coach
as
well.
Yes, quickly fired
Saunders.
Didn't help
that situation.
Jeremy Evans won the 2012 Sprite Slam Dunk Contest. He was not a good NBA player. So,
there you go.
That's just sort of the caveat that comes. Just because you can dunk on people does not make you a good basketball player. We'll see. We'll see on Anthony Edwards. But here is the question. What's the best dunk of all time? What is the best dunk of all time? I will give you mine. My best dunk of all time, and I don't even know. This may not even be a question, but it's the Vince Carter dunking over the
That's been brought up this weekend over the 7-footer in the Olympics.
Vice or whatever his name
Frederick
was.
Vice.
I think that's his name.
Yeah, Frederick Vice. I mean, that
literally jumped over a 7-footer.
You jumped in a game. I mean, that doesn't happen. It's the Olympics. It was fantastic. So that's to me. I don't even know if we should count slam dunk contest dunks. Should we even count those?
Yeah, no, probably not. It's more set up. Would you? No, it's set up.
I don't think so.
Those.
It'd have to be pretty special.
I count live game dunks like we're talking about with Anthony Edwards.
So I'm going to go with Vince Carter dunking over the Vice dude.
DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, God. Oh, God. This was violent.
Brad, see if you can pull this one up.
I'll find it.
Put DeAndre Jordan, Brandon Knight in there. And the audio from it will give you some idea of what it looked like, even for our listeners that can't see it or don't remember it. But he absolutely – it was an alley-oop catch, if I'm not mistaken, and DeAndre absolutely put Brandon into the ground.
Okay.
Into the ground in terms of dunking on him. Knight went straight down.
Yes, he did.
Into the lane on that one.
It was.
I also remember distinctly, because I was watching it, All-Star game, Shaq dunked on David Robinson. I've talked about this before, and you saw nothing but legs and arms of the 7-footer David Robinson. Shaq just took him all the way out, dunked him into the rim. Those are my two. But both happened. One was an All-Star game. One was live action, DeAndre Jordan dunking on Brandon Knight.
Yeah, I mean, the one with
this is Detroit and the Clippers, right?
Yep.
Had you seen that, Brad?
I had never seen it. I don't remember this one. But it is a hell of a dunk. The problem
like
is he's too tall.
Because
when littler dudes do it, it just resonates for some reason.
No, you're right. That's the one thing. It's not
there's
him
a replay.
Over 7-footer like John.
Oh, he's way high, though. He is way up over him.
But I think Brandon Knight thought he was going to tip away an alley-oop pass, and instead he got dunked on by
caught
a
body.
Yes.
I mean, he's a good 2 feet above him, too. That's what makes it so scary. It's
it was violent. It was a very
violent. It's a violent piece. I will give you that.
I think better than the Anthony Edwards over Utah. Yuta, even though that one was violent.
Yuta's not – nobody's going to remember Yuta in 5 years.
Right, it's Yuta Watanabe.
Loved it, though, because the – I mean, there's such a contingent of press following Yuta. You know, you've got all these – we saw him in Memphis. It's a whole row of foreign press following him.
How'd that story go?
I think after that one, they were like, we've been following this dude.
You think we're following the wrong guy.
I'm going the hell home.
They might have went home after this.
And they were like, look –
Yuta had very bad moment.
That was a very bad moment.
We're in the middle of a panorama. I'm getting the hell out of here.
I'm happy for Anthony Edwards, though. At least he got one. You know, good for him. I think Ja will at some point get one of these. His misses have been the best misses I've ever seen.
Well, he got bangs last year. Like, he's gotten a couple.
That's who
now.
It was.
Yeah. He got the homie that was in Phoenix.
I always said Alex Lynn. That's what I meant. It's Aaron Baines.
As a son last year.
Yes. Yeah, so he did get one. He got one.
It hadn't just been all near misses. It's been near makes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had a few. He's caught a few already.
Who were his near misses on? Kevin Love was one, right?
He tried to jump over. And then he tried Anthony Davis. He tried to get Anthony Davis as well, if I'm not mistaken.
You got
Love was
that.
The one, though, that felt like he could actually maybe pull it off.
Oh, yeah, that was the one. That was absolutely the one. Anyway, what's the best dunk of all time? Let us know what we're missing here.
I'll tweet this out to you guys.
Show. Yeah. That is the show today. Some people have pointed out that y'all talked right through Yuta's moment of silence, so it was not a real moment of silence.
We didn't show enough respect for that man.
I didn't give him enough respect.
And all he did was give y'all passion and sweat in his time here. Mm. How about a real moment of silence?
Okay.
All right now.
That was a very brief moment, and it was like a second.
Well, he's actually like still alive, so it probably doesn't need to be too much longer than what
we've given. Is his career, though?
Love Yuta to death. He's a rotation player in Toronto.
Is his career? I don't know. It's like,
was he not the George Washington Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah,
yes,
bro.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, but who cares?
We heard about it for how long when went that front office? Oh my God! And they were every
was he
year
on that team. That
that's
Memphis
the kind
played?
Of fearlessness that you saw in his eyes when he went at Anthony Edwards on that play.
You got to make
George
some
Washington
decisions,
defensive
bro.
POY all day long.
We just tweeted out the question of the day with the hashtag and the whole deal, and the GIF I could find was the GIF
of
Vince Carter GIF is very good.
One-handed.
It is so athletic.
You can't even
physically because he's jumping over 7-footer. It's probably the one. My man's dunking on he's dunking on Brandon Knight, who's what, 6'2", 6'3".
Now look, the radioactive fallout from that Brandon Knight dunk. I mean, his teammates didn't even want to help him up.
No, they wanted to get away as far away from the body as possible.
Look at some of those Toronto players on the sideline. Look a little bit of the same thing as they saw their man Yuta go down.
Body.
They kind of let it have. It's like watching a murder.
They were absolutely embarrassed by him. that is the show today. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you would compare it to. Maybe it's like your most long-awaited favorite movie finally hitting the big screen. I don't know. But Justice Winslow made his debut for the Memphis Grizzlies on Saturday night.
Oh, my goodness.
I can tell y'all about to rake this man across the coals.
Unfortunately, nobody else decided to show up for the Memphis Grizzlies. It was Justice versus the Phoenix Suns. Everybody else decided to take a night off.
Well, it was fourth game in 5 nights. Another one tonight.
I wish
everybody's kind of going crazy about this, though, right?
Okay, here's what I'm going to say, and I'm just going to leave it at this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody acted like once the Grizzlies started getting their asses kicked, this was always going to happen.
It was a throwaway game. We were doing a trial run.
I wish somebody would have told me that before I threw a 50-burger on Ja going over.
Yeah.
Okay? I wish I'd have known they were just throwing the game, that we were shaving points before the game started.
You put a 50 on Ja going over what?
21.5?
Ugh.
I just felt like, look,
bro.
Kyle Anderson wasn't playing. you know, a bunch of other guys weren't playing.
Oh, based on what was left,
yeah,
that Ja would have to, by default, score that many points.
I mean, but clearly.
I see where your logic was
nobody
based.
Nobody told
on.
Me Sean McDermott was going to get 21 minutes before they sent his ass back to the hustle.
At the half, the line went up to over for like 27 and a half, and I'm like, well, surely they'll get 27 and a half.
Let's go 15 first quarter, 19 in the second. I think Justin Winslow went 0 of 9 in the first half. That game did finish, 3 of 5 in the second half, made a three, saw a spin move, had 9 points, 7 rebounds. The thing you wanted to see, you knew that, I joked, thick layer of rust, that's what it was. He looked like a deer in headlights his first half. I was listening to the Suns portion of the broadcast, John, because that's what I get on Superbox. A lot of times I get that other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was your man. You remember Eddie Johnson?
Oh, how do I? I remember him very well, man. I'll never forget the time I came up here and he looked at me like I had three heads.
Yeah, I remember
I'm like,
that
do not
too.
Work this, here, man. You don't.
I was thinking about that as I was listening to him talk about Justice Winslow. He even noticed it. Like, Justice looked like a guy who hadn't played in over a year.
Yeah.
And, was ready to get out there and get a dunk, and super excited. And that's what it looked like as he went 0 of 9 from the field.
Yeah.
The key thing from that game really was Justice falling down on a break in that game for the Suns and getting right back up and looking healthy for the most part all the way through that game for 21 minutes. That's the best thing. No, Justice Winslow wasn't going to come out. We said it and be better than Kyle Anderson offensively. Kyle Anderson having his best year offensively of his career. And no, Justice Winslow, after a year layoff, wasn't going to be able to come in that game and stop the Phoenix Suns single-handedly defensively. We said that could be one of his greatest attributes, is his versatility defensively. He ain't ready for those assignments. You just wanted him to get through a game healthy, right? Then get to the next one healthy, see him again, and sort of get that rust off first. And then we'll see what the Grizzlies have gotten Justice Winslow. I'm happy he's back out there. I'm happy for him he's back out there because clearly we saw it this month, John, a player who wanted to come out and say, listen, guys, I know you're tired of waiting on me. I know this sucks, but I'm going to be back. He's back now. Let's reserve judgment until we see that, you know, he get him into game shape, right? And then we'll see what the Grizzlies have got. Do not judge him based on that first half, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's really impossible to have any kind of assessment or evaluation.
Yeah, any kind of expectation based on that, on what you saw off that. He's not going to be better than Kyle offensively.
That was not an accurate depiction.
3 of 14 overall.
Yeah, they clearly were just trying to throw him out there. And just let
in a
him.
Situation where you're sitting everybody else and go ahead and run him out there and let's see what he can do. Taylor has gone out of his way.
Yep.
To say consummate Mr. Competitive, super competitive about Justice Winslow and he did it again after this game. I wonder if Taylor, in all of the praise, the excessive praise,
it's kind of a setup.
If you're setting him up,
it's a setup.
We've always said keep the expectations low. Mm-hmm. You didn't.
Yeah.
You barely risked anything. I know this whole Jay Crowder argument or whatever, you didn't risk anything in going out and taking this swing on Justice Winslow. We said it then, and so from that standpoint, you should keep the expectations low after a year layoff. You didn't give up anything. We're trying to place everything on him from the get-go, and it feels like Taylor Jenkins is trying to say, you know, this dude's a starter, and we're going to get him there immediately. Give it some time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's so necessary. We get it. When he's healthy, he's a good player. Taylor seems to have gone a little bit overboard with the praise, it feels like.
Well, and wouldn't you start him,
maybe
actually
you're trying to help him then? Part of it's you're trying to help him feel good, confident, all that kind of thing. But, dude, it feels like they're going to throw him right in. Kyle Anderson, with the way he's been playing, if you're trying to win games, feels like maybe you can slowly work. Mm-hmm. Again, what is the rush? If you've got Kyle Anderson healthy, what's the rush? Work Justice back up to speed. There's no need to go ahead and make him the starter today because, John, you ain't going to be the 4 seed tomorrow in the West. Get it? This is still long. It's still long goal, long-term goals here for the Grizzlies, and it shouldn't be any kind of rush on Justice Winslow to get back or to look like a starter immediately. It's going to take some time.
Well, what's interesting about Justice Winslow and the idea and the and using him and what his future is here with the Grizzlies is that when you think about how the times when he was at his best in Miami was when he had the ball in his hands. He was playing sort of point forward, right? Like, that was when he was at his best statistically, and you can look that up and you can find that. And he can't have the ball in his hands as a starter. He just can't. So is he a starter? Is he going to be a starter? You know, we talked about Kyle Anderson. Can he give you more than what Kyle Anderson has given you right now?
Not offensively.
In the framework of what they're doing, right? You know, we may have been spending all this time on a guy who is a bench player, and that's fine. Like, he might be a big part of their bench. Like, he may be one of the – he could be a sixth man of the year. But almost wonder if that's who he is with the Grizzlies. Like, is he better suited as a ball handler, as the primary ball handler?
Second unit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because that is when he was at his best with Miami, when he had the ball in his hands and he wasn't, you know, just playing sort of off of it. So that will be interesting to and it sounds like that's what Taylor Jenkins is going to do with the Grizz or with Justice Winslow right now. He didn't get a lot of time with Ja on Saturday. Only played about 10 minutes with Ja, and so maybe that's what they're going to try to do as they work him in. What's interesting, of course, is that Justice is back. I texted you this, but I didn't report or anything. I had heard that Justice was coming back Friday night, and then it would be tomorrow. And then on Jaren, here's what's interesting on Jaren. I have sort of heard that it is going to be past the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah, there's no need to rush that up.
That they've tried to ramp up some stuff with him, and that in one of his more recent workouts, he sort of had an adverse reaction to that workout. And so it is going to be more of a conservative timeline, certainly past the All-Star break. You know, I think mid-March, late March is probably when you will start to see more of Jaren. That's a long time from now. I mean, that's, you know, you got a game on the road tonight against the Mavericks. You know, you're a 5-point underdog. I don't see the Grizzlies winning this game tonight. Maybe.
The funny thing is the Mavs are, you mentioned that they're 5-point favorites. They're sitting there below you in the standings at 13 and 15. It's not like they've been world beaters at 5-5. People are going, you know, crazy about the lineups or sitting guys or are the Grizz tank or not. I mean, again, I go back. You're sitting there 13 and 13 and haven't had the guy that you think is the second part of your the second most important part of your franchise for the next 5, 6, 7 years in Jaren Jackson. You haven't had him. And for a large part of it, you know, and John, we can get back to the Justice Winslow thing. I think you made that move hoping he could be a starter. We'll see. It's actually not a bad idea, especially right now, to have him with that second unit and playing as sort of the setup guy. I like that, but I think they've long envisioned him as a starter post Kyle Anderson. If you catch my drift there. But back to the Grizzlies. You're 13 and 13.
Yep.
You're literally half a game out of eighth place, which is, I mean, you want to be in the play-in series. You're going to have, you know, you'll have that opportunity as well. But you're sitting here right now through 26 games at 500 above the Mavericks and above the Pelicans, who are trying to get it together. And I realize, you know, some people seem to think that the Pelicans are starting over. Look, they got two All-Stars. And the Pelicans, you saw them just come back from 24 down this week against Boston. Like, that team is capable. They're underachieving. Grizzlies to this point of the season, have beat them out, have beat Dallas out.
Yep.
So all it's been for me so far is what we hoped it would be. Sure, you want to get those guys like Justice and Jaren back, start that development. But it's been a development and a competitive one. And, John, you're right in the mix where you wanted to be, sort of in that swing area of play-in series. Right, have a chance at an 8, maybe a 7 seed if Jaren gets back and he looks good early. I think it's a good job by Taylor Jenkins and the Grizzlies with what they've had in front of them. And how could you look at this thing and say they're tanking at 13 and 13, sitting in ninth in the West, John?
Yeah,
ninth in a competitive West.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Like, this ain't a West that's all of a sudden become the East.
Yep, no, you're right. And so that's sort of the state of the Grizzlies right now. Justice is back. Hard to know exactly what that will mean to the Grizzlies right now. Everybody, they didn't pass
it's
along
a
the memo that was just going to be a throw. They're just going to throw the game on Saturday. But maybe next time, that way I can put my mortgage on the other team and also not bet on anything Grizzlies related. That would have been a massive help, Twitter. So maybe you will come through for me next time that the Grizzlies decide to do this. We will come back. Lots more to come. Jeff Goodman's going to join us. We'll talk to him about Michigan, Juwan Howard, what the tournament is looking like. His love affair with Jerry Stackhouse.
We have another submission. You got to go on Twitter on the 92.9 account and see. This might be bigger than the two you mentioned. Continue your tease. I'm sorry.
Oh, but no, we're gonna talk to Jeff Goodman about all of that and more when we come back. And yes, get on Twitter and let us know who you think has the best dunk of all time. We'll be reading those submissions, going over those submissions on the show today. We'll come back. Jeff Goodman on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guys, love betting on basketball in the NBA on FanDuel. You can always find new player props or game props that you like. What's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. I've told you it's called a same-game parlay bet. You can only find them on FanDuel Sportsbook. You've got the Grizzlies and the Mavericks tonight. You can bet Ja's point total, his assist number. I usually, with his threes, they usually set at 1.5. Typically, with the way Josh shot the ball, smart to go under on that. Can combine that with the money line, the point spread, whatever you want to do. And if you, I tell you what, you get three of the four legs right, you can get your money back, up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls just one leg short with that same game parlay insurance. So even when you're not winning, you're getting your money back if you go 3 out of 4, miss just one leg. That's why I bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the official partner of Radio.com and 92.9 FM ESPN. They say you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours, and they mean it, unlike other sportsbooks. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Try a same-game parlay. Use the promo code JSmith at sign-up. That's J-S-M-I-T-H. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com. For details, for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Steve is in Memphis. You're on ESPN Radio. Who's your team and best and worst case scenario for them?
How you doing? First of all, I just want to say, man, thanks for taking the call. Great show, guys. I know you haven't been on that long, but y'all are really setting the mark high, man.
Thank you.
Second of all, 49ers fan, man, all the way. The worst case scenario for us would be another year of Jimmy G. I just can't stomach it, man.
KJZ, weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All 75 months at 3.04%. Mirage MH002682, MSRP 16865, G4 MHF01572, MSRP 18360, Outlander Sport MU004915, MSRP 24740. Includes all rebates and incentives. PF 695 excludes tax, title, and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month. Dealer stock only.
Ready, set, start your new year with a new ride from Gossett Mitsubishi on Covington Pike. Get the hatchback hero in 2021 Mirage, 12,342 or 129 a month. 2021 Mitsubishi Mirage G4, 41 mpg highway, 13,997 or 149 a month. And jumpstart your journey in 2021 Outlander Sport, 17,938 or 199 a month. And these are not leases. You own your new ride. Plus, you get Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Gossett Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, or shop online at memphismitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. You know the seasons are changing and spring is almost around the corner. Give us a call today at 388-0852 or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com to get the best prices of the season on your termite and mosquito programs.
I'm listening daily. You are not alone. During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. Here's licensed therapist Dr. Christine Moutier on ending the stigma of talking about mental health.
The way the culture is changing around mental health is amazing. There's this open-mindedness now to understand that part of being human is mental health. It's this incredible, I would say, just like a burgeoning area where we can all learn how that works for us and for our loved ones so that we can just be so much smarter. We can take the stigma out of the whole conversation, let alone if we need treatment. You know, 1 in 4 Americans has a mental health condition. And yet, right now, less than half of those Americans with mental health conditions are seeking treatment. So we're not acting as smart as we can be about our mental health.
Talk has the power to save lives, and you are not alone. Find out more at imlistening.org. That's the letter I, the letter M, listening.org.
The Etceteras podcast, hosted by Kevin Durant and Eddie Gonzalez, dives into the landmark cultural moments that have helped shape the world as we know it today. The Etceteras podcast, available on radio.com and Apple Podcasts.
Switch to T-Mobile for Business and get up to 90 days of service free via virtual rebate on your business plan. You get a great deal, the largest 5G network, and first-class benefits like Microsoft 365 on us. It's better for business and only with T-Mobile for Business. Limited time offer. Stop in store for details. Plus taxes and fees for some plans. Virtual Express MasterCard within 8 weeks of receipt of valid submission. Complete port within 60 days. See T-Mobile.com for 5G devices, coverage, and plan details.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin. With all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Goodman covers Vanderbilt basketball for Stadium. I'm just kidding. He covers all college basketball for Stadium. Catch him on the field of 68. Let's make him
The Giant Interview.
Now, it's The Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
El Jefe, what's going on?
You know, the only reason you're making me the Giant Interview is because you have skimped on your what you said you would do. Last time I was on the show, you said you would send me a Memphis Tigers hat in the mail that I could wear on my podcast daily. At least, you know, put them in the rotation. Mm-hmm. But I've yet to get anything. I mean, I've given you my address. I'll pay for the postage. I'll pay for the hat. I'm good with it. I expected this, and I should have went through Jason because things get done. When you go through Jason, stuff gets done. When you go through John, you got no idea.
That's exactly right. No, you're 100% right. We're going to – look, I don't have to get into the logistical issues of the Postal Service here, Jeff. It's been a we're coming out of a snowstorm where there were 9 inches of snow, and that sounds like child's play to you as a New Englander. But that is an amount of snow that will absolutely
so 9 inches
break
does
down
that mean
society.
Nobody could find Gary Parish.
Wow!
Hunkered down in Mississippi.
I do think Gary did his show from home last week.
Come on, I love TP. If anybody can say that, it's me. I love TP.
You're right. Listen, we have a lot to get to on the show today. But I do want to start with I was locked into Michigan. I was watching that game. Yep. I bet on Michigan. And I was harassing you. I was harassing you because I don't think you were really depicting the whole picture. Michigan kicked Ohio State's ass yesterday. I know it looked close, but if you watch that game, Michigan is so much better. But you won't say it. You won't say it.
What do you mean I won't say it? They won.
I know.
I said it was a heck of a win for the Michigan Wolverines. Juwan Howard has done one hell of a job there. He is the outlier at this point. He is the guy. If there's a former NBA player who has crushed it, Fred Hoiberg did it the first time around, but like Fred Hoiberg didn't have like, you know, $100 million in the bank or something like that. And that's my take. Like,
right.
There's a certain category of former NBA guys to me that's different. Fred Hoiberg and Tony Bennett. Like, you can't put them in that class because they didn't make, like, life-changing money playing in the NBA like Juwan, like Penny, like Damon Stoudemire, like Terry Porter. Some of those dudes did. So I feel like Juwan Howard has just absolutely made me eat my words because I did not think he would do this at all at Michigan.
I am not super – locked into what he has done. I mean, how many of these guys are his? How many of these guys did he recruit were most of them sort
That's
of
a good question.
How many? Because I do think that does matter. Like, coaches can
of
come
course.
In and sort of, you know, extend what another coach had previously built. Were a lot of these guys his, or how would you sort of break it down?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he got Hunter Dickinson. He got Wagner. You know, he inherited Livers. He inherited some guys. He got in the two grad transfers this year, Mike Smith and Chandi Brown, who have been great.
I mean, those were the difference makers last night, though, Jeff.
Totally.
Chandi Brown had like 18 offensive rebounds. Yeah.
Right. Like, Livers is terrific, and he inherited Livers, and he's been great. And remember, last year he inherited Xavier Simpson and the big dude, I forget his name right now, but who was solid, right? Like, so he inherited a stable program. That was the – and then you just got a guy that honestly – every kind of like Penny. I mean, they're similar in some ways being around them. They're both kind of chill. Everybody loves them. Everybody loves Juwan Howard. Anybody who meets him is just like, oh, my God, like he is the best human being in the world. And then what he did that I think might have been a little bit different than what Penny did – is he put together a staff that had different – all three of them were very different, right? So Bill Martelli he brings in, who's been a head coach forever in college at St. Joe's and won a ton of games. Howard Eisley is his NBA guy, right? He brings in, he's known him. Howard's played in the NBA, coached in the NBA the last few years. And then he keeps Saudi Washington, who's already been at Michigan as an assistant coach, as a grinder. He knows the lay of the land at Michigan. He knows all the recruits. He came up. He was a mid-major assistant before he got the job at Michigan under Beilein. So it's kind of like, you know, it's the anti-Stackhouse staff is really what it is.
Do you think he can keep Martelli in that spot? Is Martelli done as a head coach, I guess, is the better way to ask that question. Can you keep him there in that spot? Because he's clearly been super valuable.
I mean, if he doesn't have a better opportunity, sure.
You like, can
if
pay
he's
him
got
whatever.
Another decent opportunity to be a head coach, I would assume he goes. And that's probably what he's hoping for, is one more run here of another few years. You know, I don't know where he, you know, shoot, so St. Joe's should take him back at this point. They've been terrible without him. But, yeah, I think, again, give Juwan credit. He listened to some smart people, because I didn't know if Martelli was going to be the right guy for him, because Phil's a little opinionated. You know, he's a little opinionated as a head coach. But Juwan's so comfortable in his own skin that I think he's cool with that.
Is it time to put Michigan in the tier of Baylor and Gonzaga in this college basketball season? I say yes.
No.
I think you're absolutely insane. You haven't even seen Baylor play basketball. I mean, how can you even say that? It's been like, what, since 2020? How do we even know?
They're back tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, what? Okay, so let me ask you this then. What concerns do you – what are your reservations about Michigan?
I have no reservations. I just think Baylor's better, and I think Gonzaga is better. I guess my biggest reservation would still be – that I'm not sold that Ohio State, even though we had him in the top five, is really a top five team.
Agreed.
Like, I feel like Chris Holtmann has absolutely maximized his talent to an incredible degree. So, like, it was a great game, and it was well played, and there was shot making and good coaching and all that and good players. But, like, all right, if I ask either one of you, give me a lock NBA player on Ohio State Buckeyes team. You can't. I love E.G. Liddell. But he's not a lock NBA player. Like Holtmann's done a great job. So I guess what I'm trying to say is when you look down the list of teams Michigan has beaten this year, okay, when you look down the list, you say, all right, they beat Maryland at Maryland. Yeah, it's a good win, right? Good win. You know, they beat Wisconsin at home. Well, everybody's beating Wisconsin these days. They beat Purdue on the road. Like, good win. They beat Wisconsin again. So they beat Wisconsin twice. They beat Maryland twice. They beat Rutgers at home. They beat, you know, Ohio State on the road. That's a hell of a win. I don't know. I just still – they don't play Iowa at Iowa. You know, they don't play Illinois at Illinois. They got both of them coming up here in the next week or so at home. So I just feel like, is Michigan as battle-tested as Baylor? Are they as battle-tested as Gonzaga was early in the season? Now, again, Gonzaga – hasn't played anybody lately, but, you know, I talked to Scott to Mark B last night, and he said to me, like, don't be shocked if we look to have one more non-conference game around our conference tournament, because I guess they have a little bit of a break after their final game and when they start their conference tournament. He's like, if we can find somebody that gives us a little bit of a different look and gives us, like, a shock to our system, athleticism, size, that wise, he might do it.
Jeff, you should have seen how loud John Martin got with me last week. I think it was Friday, about Isaac Brown at Wichita State and how Wichita State should go get Mark Turgeon. Right, go spend some money and get the retread Mark Turgeon. He was excited about this, telling me that Isaac Brown, I think all of us, most of us agreed, should be given the job, take the interim tag off. Jeff, he's got him in first place. I don't have to tell you. Like, Wichita State was picked seventh. He got the gig right before the season started. What the hell is John Martin thinking is the way to ask you that question. Why go get a retread in Turgeon when you got the guy right there? They respect Brown. They're winning with him.
This completely makes sense for John Martin. I mean, honestly, it's not anything that surprises me. I mean, he wants the older dude, you know, the guy who's been around for a while that's going to come in and, you know, you might win the press conference with. But ultimately, Isaac Brown is the anti-Greg Marshall. That's what he is. He's the anti-Greg Marshall. He's the guy that players really like, that treats kids the right way. And, oh, by the way, he's done better than Greg Marshall would have done with his team.
Exactly.
It ain't even close. What he's done – now, again, the AAC is not great, as you guys know better than anybody this year. So it was the right year for Isaac Brown. But first place right now, Wichita State Shockers. If you're Darren Boatwright, you're the AD – I equate this a lot, guys, to when Chris Holtmann got hired at Butler and when Greg Gard got hired at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Neither guy, remember, Holtmann took over for Brandon Miller who kind of went AWOL.
That's right.
And had some mental health issues. And Barry Collier didn't want to give it to Holtmann, but Holtmann gave him no choice. He got off to a great start at Butler. And same thing, Bo Ryan, remember, stepped down.
That's
about
right.
10 games in.
Oh, yeah.
They were terrible. Guard took over, and Barry Alvarez didn't want to give Guard the job full-time. But, again, Guard turned it around, gave him no other option. I think this is going to be the same situation. I don't think Darren Boatwright wants to give it to him. I think now he's got no choice.
God save the Queen, Goodman. This is the second time we've heard the Greg Guard analogy. Okay, Greg Guard took the Batters to a Sweet 16. Isaac Brown's 9-2 in the American, which you readily admitted 5 seconds ago, absolutely sucks.
It just beat a top 10.
So team. All I'm saying is that he might be the answer.
They beat Houston.
He might.
They beat
yes,
Houston.
Yes, he might be the. He it might be the right thing to give him the job. But this is not Greg Guard where it's just absolutely stone cold obvious. Wow, look at what he's done. Okay.
The other thing is you handed Greg Marshall $7.75 million going out the door. You could save some of that with Isaac Brown. Well, you could probably pay him $1 million a year,
100%.
As opposed to if you went after a Mark Turgeon, you're probably paying him at least. I mean, shoot, Mark Turgeon's going to command 2.5. He's probably making almost 3 at Maryland right now. For God's sakes.
I appreciate you guys trying to save a $45 billion
family. Same thing on Friday,
a couple
Jeff.
Of bucks.
I appreciate you.
Like the Koch brothers.
I'm with you. I'm with you here.
Let's
Jason.
Save the $45 billion family a couple of dollars. All right, that is exactly all we need in this society. Now, while we're on the subject here of the American, Jeff, we have long maintained on this show that for Memphis, which, like Baylor, has not played since 2020, that all they really need to do to make the tournament is to take care of business with everybody else not named Houston, which means beat them, and then beat Houston one time, and that should be enough to get into the tournament. Would you agree with that?
So you're saying they have to win the American – you know, if they win the American tournament, John, you do understand that teams get an automatic bid for that, right?
Is that a new development? Have they just started doing this? Of course we know. We know they can get in if they win the damn thing. But let's just say, since you need me to spell this out for you, that they get to the conference championship final, but they lose they lose basically again to Houston, but they did beat them on March 7th here in Memphis. Would that be enough?
Probably not. It depends. Listen, there's so many other factors. I hate when people ask me that because you just don't know what else is going to happen around the country, right? Like Duke has come back into the equation right now. Michigan State has started to come back into the equation a little bit. Like, I don't think Michigan State's got a shot, but Duke certainly does. Well, they play Syracuse tonight. If Syracuse beats Duke, they're back in the mix. So there's too many moving parts to be able to say that with certainty. But I think what Memphis has to do, obviously, is you know, they're going to have to beat Houston at some point, right? They're going to have to beat him at some point because otherwise their numbers aren't going to be good enough. So I think you've got to get past Houston. You want them in the AAC tournament. So if you're the three and they're the two seed at the end of the day, you're probably going to have to get past Houston. And if you lost to Wichita in the AAC finals, I don't think you get in. I think you probably got to win both.
No, that's interesting. I mean, that definitely would change the dynamic quite a bit. How beatable is Houston for Memphis?
I mean, they're beatable. I mean, you know, listen, they're a really good team. I don't think they're the same team without Mills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I would say is they still don't have as much firepower overall as when they have Mills, but – you know, again, I think if you can somehow get them once, what do you got them twice? You got them at both.
Well, they lost
and then at home.
Well, no, they lost the one because of COVID. We'll see if it gets rescheduled.
Right, probably won't at this point.
Yeah, but why are they playing West Kentucky then? You know what I mean? Why are they playing a non-conference game?
They pick. Right, you know why? Because they're protecting teams all over the country right now that are in first place or towards first place in their league are protecting their equity, what they've built out, their seeding as much as possible, mm-hmm. and making sure that they're not going to screw up what they've already been able to accrue over the course of the year.
Hey, Goodman, everybody's asking, best dunk you ever saw. dunk on someone because Anthony Edwards, in honor of him dunking on on our boy Yuta Watanabe, used to be a Grizzly. We still follow his career, although it ended pretty much with Anthony Edwards, that dunk. What did greatest dunk you ever saw? Dunk over somebody. You know, right, dunk on
ready?
Somebody. Yeah, absolutely.
My greatest one, believe it or not, was Nate Robinson at a tournament called Slam Dunk to the Beach 20 years ago. Nate was at Rainier Beach in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, 5'7", 5'8". He dunked on this 7-foot dude, 6'11", dude named D'Angelo Collins, who was at Inglewood, same high school that produced Paul Pierce. And, it was vicious. Still the best dunk I've ever seen.
Poor Nate. What's happened? What's become of you? Long way down for Nate from that moment, Jeff.
I think he should fight John Martin next.
Trust me, he don't want that.
I'm not sure he can win that one.
Tomato can. Who's the biggest tomato can? John Martin.
Well, I'm not here. I mean, I'm like Jake Paul, man. Give me 500, I'll do it. I'll do it for 500. Hey, I did want to ask you this before we get you out of here, because I know you're a very busy man. Kentucky beat the brakes off Tennessee this weekend. Who does that say more about, Kentucky or Tennessee?
I thought actually Kentucky played well. I give them credit. They're coming along. They're not going to be a tournament team unless they run it in the SEC tournament. But I think they're coming along. I can't believe you got me on here, and we didn't talk Jerry Stackhouse at all.
Well, I mean, look, I didn't know if you were comfortable talking about that. It's a sore spot. He's coming after you. I mean, I think he's making you look absolutely silly. You should be embarrassed. I mean, what can you even say?
Here's all I'll say to that is I have zero against Jerry Stackhouse, the human being. Zero. Like, I think he's actually a good X's and O's coach, if any. I just, to me, again, Bryce Drew shouldn't have been fired when he was fired. When he was fired, you go to one NCAA tournament in 3 years, you shouldn't get fired at that point, especially after you lost Darius Garland, a high lottery pick for the entire season. All right, so I would have fired him. You want to fire him a year later, that's fine. The AD's already gone. The AD's a complete, you know, like he was fired already. So, and you hire Stackhouse, and to me, again, we've been through this. Most guys that made a lot of money, millions and millions in the NBA, aren't going to work that hard. So the track record says it's probably not going to work out. And then his staff, which I don't know if he's claiming, if he's saying I'm racist or not. I have no idea, but it sounds like that could be the case because his staff, I guess, I don't even know if they're all black or not. But all I know is their backgrounds, and their backgrounds are one's a high school coach from Memphis, which you guys know better than anybody. You're going to hire a high school coach from Memphis and Vandy. Like, you're not beating Memphis for dudes. Like, why are you hiring a high school coach from Memphis? It's dumb. It's dumb. And then you're hiring two NBA, two other guys, NBA developmental guy, and another guy that had basically no experience recruiting in college. So that's your staff right now. You hired David Grace the first year, a couple years ago. Right. You've already fired him. He had bounced around to about five different spots and had no experience really recruiting high academic kids of the Vandy caliber. He was at UCLA, I get it, good academic school, but not Vandy. Different ball game in Vandy. So I just, again, I got nothing against him. I just thought his staff was poorly put together. And, again, I wouldn't have hired Jerry Stackhouse, period, at Vandy.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. I'll say this, Jeff. I don't think you're racist, Jeff.
Thanks.
That's the nicest thing
today,
I can say.
You, John, because
right.
of the Isaac Brown
hate. There is no. I called him out for it Friday.
That
exactly.
Is, you know,
Jeff,
that
right.
is the problem with this generation, isn't it, Jeff? That is the problem. Is if you don't like the answer, you're racist.
I know. It's tough. I mean, listen, I got it when I said Mike Anderson was a horrible hire at St. John's. And I got it with Michigan, with Juwan Howard. But the people I said they should have hired, St. John's, I said should have hired Paul Hewitt, and Michigan, Ed Cooley. Last I checked, both are black.
Well, it was the same thing here in Memphis when they fired Tubby. They're like, oh, y'all are just trying to get a black man up out of there. Yeah, but we were all pushing for Penny, you know, which,
exactly.
Again, that really didn't make much sense. Hey, Jeff, man, congratulations on all the success. We appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you, Jeff.
Take care, boys. Yep. Appreciate it. Later.
He is Jeff Goodman, covers college basketball for stadium and, of course, the field of 68.
I will say, you know, part of hiring Faraji, the high school coach that Jeff alluded to, mm-hmm. Faraji Phillips, was getting Matthew Morrill, right?
That's right. That was all.
That was a big part of it, too. Matthew Morrill, who had a relationship with, and he didn't get him.
He did not get him.
It wasn't – Faraji, we've all said, great, great basketball mind, all that, but you hired him to get Matthew Morrill. He didn't. So to that point about how and why you put together your staff, well, part of the reason you got Faraji, big reason, main reason, was to get Matthew. That didn't happen. And so from that, you know, it's hard to defend from that standpoint. At least from that standpoint, you didn't come through for him. And so, again, what you hope is that this here looks more like what's happening up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, right, leaning back that way as opposed to what's going on in Nashville. Because unfortunately, Stackhouse does look like sort of the one
that's right.
He's closer to the Drexlers than the rest of them. Penny's sitting there in the middle, jury's still out on, showing some good signs, I think. Clearly, we think a tournament's being part of that.
Yep.
I still think you're closer to Michigan and what they're doing than you are certainly to Vanderbilt.
Well,
Bro, they got the money thing fixed.
Yeah.
They've had the number one recruiting class.
Yes.
They've had guys go in the lottery.
Yes.
Okay? So if he gets the tournament appearance, you're done. Boom, you're running a successful program.
No, but
Is it Michigan in a number one seed?
No. Not even close.
But absolutely, is it ranked every year like you're supposed to be? Absolutely. John, and what did we say he's got to do to get there? Fix your offense.
Oh, I agree.
Get a consistent point guard. You're literally top five in the country in defense. You've done it for 2 years in a row.
But look, I don't know how you watch
He's checked a lot of those boxes.
There is no doubt.
They've got to fix the offense. Then you got a chance to be there, at least maybe not top five level, but certainly top 25 level, which is where we said this thing should be.
You can't tell me that you look at Michigan and what Juwan Howard, who was an alum of that university, was a former NBA player and a former NBA coach, you can't tell me you look at that situation as a Memphis fan and don't feel a certain type of way.
No, what I'm telling you is that Memphis is closer to that with all the boxes that Penny has checked so far than they are to Vandy.
Jerry's going to get fired.
That it appears that Vandy has become now under Jerry Stackhouse.
Jerry is going
to
get fired.
I'm telling you that Penny's closer to that. And there is still a path to that. And it would help if you make the tournament this year. I think there's a way to stay close
but honestly,
and get there.
Would you say that you think Memphis
will... Am I saying it's the same thing right now? Absolutely not.
Would Phil Martelli have us in the top 25 if you were part of our staff?
Well... I mean, I don't know if it would just – I don't think Phil Martelli is the difference in and of him, but I think it's
And we've had someone Phil on that said the exact same thing.
You see where I'm going with that.
Now, Phil Martelli represents an attitude. It represents an approach, you know, to the way you run your program. It's like, okay, I don't know everything, so I'm going to bring in people around me who can help me with my shortcomings.
Willingness to have guys.
Yeah.
Heard Jeff say that. He's full of opinions, him and Juwan were going to disagree. It's are you willing to have that within your program and on your bench
as
a staff member?
It's not Phil Martelli is like some, you know, he's not Jesus Christ in the flesh.
I'm just talking about that concept.
It is the idea. Do you think Memphis will ever be ranked in the top three? Like, do you think in the next 5 years Memphis will be ranked in the top 30?
No, but I think Memphis can be ranked in the top 25. They were right there to start the season. If they had taken care of business like they're supposed to, could be real close to it right now.
I mean, look, I'm watching that game yesterday. I'm like, damn, you know?
Yeah, I had the same sort of feeling.
I know Memphis is not technically Michigan, but, I mean, it ain't like they're super far apart in terms of program history and tradition and things like that. I mean, Memphis has the players.
But I don't think they're as far apart as you're making it sound.
Well, I don't think they're close. I mean,
you saw Michigan play a fantastic game. They won five coming out of COVID. They're absolutely a one seed. I would agree with Jeff that there's a separation between them and Baylor and Gonzaga, but they're absolutely a one seed after that. You can put Ohio State there and the rest of college basketball if you want to, your Illinois team that you like. But Memphis, we've said, clearly has that talent to be in that kind of consideration.
Yeah.
Certainly top 25. Only part they hadn't come through yet is with the tournament. That came down to really, frankly, the way they've been turning the ball over, getting the consistent point guard play. You can absolutely be in the top 25, and you get in the tournament, you give yourself a chance.
Well,
he's had the NBA players, right? He's had the number one recruiting class. He's certainly recruiting at that level, right? Or has done that.
Exactly.
Has done that.
I think you absolutely can compare Memphis to Michigan, can't you? Because, again, program tradition is there.
Again, I would tell you that Juwan was ahead of Penny. Let's not act like they were on. It's just a couple of millionaire NBA players. Juwan had been in the league for years as an assistant coach. Okay. So let's not just throw that out either.
But Memphis had a number one recruiting class.
We've talked about this. Just as much as we're watching Memphis and Penny try to develop these players, we're watching a coach And I keep calling him a young coach, young in the sense of college coach.
Yes.
Not a young coach, but young tenure, in the sense of his experience and coaching, period. Penny had been doing it at the high school and grassroots level. Juwan Howard had been doing it at the NBA level.
That's fair.
Let's not act like that. There's not a difference there.
That's a good point.
Huge difference. Yep. Huge difference.
That's well said.
I mean, because, you know, you pick up stuff.
Juwan had been
like
training to become a coach for a long time and been doing it at the highest level.
And people have failed at that, too.
To the point that people had said that guy should probably get an NBA shot.
Yep.
And because he wasn't getting that, he came back down to the college level. But had been preparing to be a head coach. Penny, that process started what? That last year? That last year, knowing you got Wiseman?
Yeah.
You're seeing what's happening with Tubby, then we're going to get him. Juwan was ahead of him in that aspect. Juwan's development as a coach, he's ahead of Penny in that. So let's not act like they started in the same place.
All I'm telling you is that I see a program that's led by an alum and a former NBA player. A
lot of similarities.
And I love the way they play. And Memphis, it feels like just sort of started to figure it out, you know, 7 games ago. Now, look, we'll see what happens on Wednesday when they come back. I'm not writing Memphis off.
Memphis better than Michigan defensively. Have they not been over the last 2 years?
Yeah, but I mean Michigan.
So what you're saying you like better, I just want to boil that down, was offensively, what you saw offensively.
Yes. Yes.
I really like what you said. I do think it's worth pointing out Patrick Ewing, NBA experience, Jerry Stackhouse, NBA experience, and I think that both of them, for various reasons, haven't been that successful as what's happened in Michigan.
Like, would you say
that Brad, if anything, it shows case by case basis.
Pat had
paid his dues in the NBA, just like you said, get him to the college level, didn't work out.
Has not worked out. No.
They're still failing as a brand, still falling off the map. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it.
Who would you say Memphis is closer to under Penny Hardaway? I'm just asking the question. Juwan Howard at Michigan or Patrick Ewing at Georgetown?
I would still say Juwan, man. Because, you've seen guys, we literally saw it after the second pick in the draft this year. Yeah. This year, okay? What'd you see after it? An infomercial about Memphis. Let's not act like he hasn't sent guys to the league. That's part of John keeping it going, being able to recruit at a high level, is putting guys in the league. Josh didn't have that for the entire time he was here, looking for that, right? Penny's already got that off top.
But my question to you would be, who's going from this group?
To the league?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, believe me, they got to pick it back up. But I don't know that there's a bona fide NBA guy for sure on this squad.
Yeah.
We've been saying for a while it could be DJ, right? We've been saying for a while could be Musa, who at one point was on mock drafts for this year, now is not, right? But I would still tell you, 7 foot, or I know you like to say, no, John, Jason, he's not a 7 footer, he's 6'10", 6'11", whatever. At that size, running as fast as he's going to go to the league.
No, he'll get a shot.
He'll end up in the league. So that's your one. If you answer your question, it's him.
But, you know, that it's just a precarious line.
And it doesn't hurt him what Precious and James are doing, quite frankly, in the league right now.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't hurt Musa at all.
But you gotta keep
that.
If you don't have the tournament success, you got to keep something going.
Right.
You got to keep something going.
Yeah, but okay, the different Memphis, the Memphis team you're talking about right now, we'll see when they come out of COVID. We'll see out of this pause. They'll start against Tulane. But this is not – I would be with you closer to that. It's not – if it was still the team that lost both games to Tulsa, still it hadn't looked like it had
Fair
figured
enough.
Some things
Fair
out
point.
Yet.
Yeah.
With what they've done, right, with the boxes Penny's checked with recruiting, with NBA guys, with defense, I would still say it's closer to Michigan. You got to add that in there as well.
That is a fair point, and we will
because it's looked a lot better than it did after that second loss to Tulsa.
Look, I think the way Memphis finishes this season is going to determine a lot. I mean, I just do.
I would literally tell you Memphis' season has come down to Tulsa because what I've told you is their greatest weakness under Penny Hardaway, which is turning the ball over, it was 41 in those 2 games.
Yep.
And if you're not sitting here with those 2 nasty losses, you're sitting here you're sitting here with 1 loss in the AAC and right there on top of the thing like you're supposed to be, and we're talking about a tournament team. Like, it literally comes down to that. It's almost like they slapped themselves and figured that out. Now have won 6 of 7. The talent's there, John. They're closer to Michigan than they are Vandy or Georgetown.
I agree with that.
But clearly with work to do. Clearly, Georgetown, they are falling off the map, John.
But they are in a much tougher league. They're in a much tougher league.
I will give you that.
And they did beat Seton Hall on Saturday. I mean, it's a thin line, man. It is a thin line for Memphis. And I think the way they finish this season out starting on Wednesday is going to determine a whole hell of a lot. Just moving forward for Penny and that group. But anyway, Michigan gets a big win over Ohio State on CBS. It was a fantastic game. Thanks to Jeff Gibbon for joining us on the show, too.
Man, why don't you just give Juwan a lifetime contract, man? Why don't you just go get a Juwan Howard Michigan jersey, man? Since you love him so much, why don't you go move up to Ann Arbor, man?
I might.
Does that sound familiar?
Give me a Fab Five jersey.
I didn't know you loved the Fab Five so much, man. No, good Lord. Phil Martelli, I know this, man.
I've heard this kind of deal.
You were tweeting about Michigan. You're doing the live play-by-play with your Wolverines jersey under your Raiders jersey, man.
Let me tell you what I love.
Does that sound familiar?
I love ball movement, man, and they do that better than almost anybody in the country.
Run sets.
I mean, the way they move the ball, they got Dickinson inside who was unstoppable. I mean, you got Chauncey Brown who's getting basically every offensive rebound. Like, how can you not love the way those dudes play, man? That is how a well-oiled machine looks. That's what it looks like. All right, now different team, but same team scoring 50 against Tulsa.
That was the old Memphis.
Oh, we're going to see.
Old as in this season, older, but they have not been that team
seven games. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I do think
I worry about coming out of COVID pause.
This is a tough period. You're coming out of COVID pause, plus you got the transfer thing looming after the season is over.
Yeah, and there's as I've told you guys before, there has been some internal worry about that.
That's at every school.
It is, but I think there is
Don't you think because it's not lost six out of the last seven that it's looked
100%
potentially will be a lot better than what it could have been.
Yes, agreed.
And how it felt after you're losing,
but again,
you're losing to Tulsa twice.
Good point.
You're losing commitment that night, Arterio Morris. And things have they could have literally unraveled.
Let's also see how they finish. You know, what
they're gonna be. And just as easy as it will be for guys to transfer out of here, and we talk about Tyler Harris left last year. Well, how'd that go? It will be just as easy for Memphis to get them this year because they will be eligible right on because of COVID, all that kind of stuff.
Iowa State has been a disaster.
Penny's a player. It's not because of Tyler Harris though. To that point, they've been a disaster. Period.
Yeah.
I don't think Tyler had any idea of the disaster he was headed for when you made that decision. But in all fairness, again, you would go out and get Landers Nolly right after you don't get Jalen Green.